Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. I read to you from Romans chapter 13, verses 8 through 10. Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Now, there is in our world a very popular doctrinal system that is being called the New Morality. It is certainly not an altogether new movement, however. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, 9 and 10, the thing that hath been done, it is that which shall be, and that which is done is that which shall be done, and there is no new thing under the sun. Is there anything whereof it may be said, see, that is new? It hath been of already of old time, which was before us. So we see this new morality seeks to replace the moral standards and the teachings of the New Testament. That's not a new thing. It is even promoted not only by the irreligious elements of society, but even some religious leaders of liberalism who contend that they are promoting the will of God. In an issue of Look magazine, there was an article how we are in the jet age, the era of nuclear war, population explosion, fragmented families. The moral conditions are changing so rapidly that the old established guidelines are being yanked out of our hands. Things are changing so extensively and so rapidly and completely that one cannot really depend on anything, and there is nothing to which one can tie himself and know it will remain. Not even the Bible, not even the church, not anything. Well, so goes the contention of the article in Look magazine. Well, this new morality system proclaims that the Bible is irrelevant for our age and is too outmoded for our times. Over a recent television program, one young person was asked to comment on what the Bible said about abortion, and she commented, "The Bible really doesn't mean anything." Well, so think a lot of people. It was the Vatican that named the new morality system, with reference to the philosophy of relativism and moral thinking, with no established or absolute norms, with everything depending on the situation and each person left to fulfill himself as he sees fit. Yes, this new morality is announced as the new standard for society, where there are no rules. Some see the new morality in terms of the Playboy magazine. That publication, of course, has advocated hedonism, doing whatever brings pleasure without any restrictions. But actually, the new morality and the Playboy doctrine are not quite the same, because the new morality system does not deny all responsibility, and some of its proponents say they do believe in God. Upon investigation, one will soon learn that this new morality is simply the old immorality in a new dress with some variation. And society suffers, friend, from the new morality, especially among the young. Unable to cope with the new codes, the void of laws, the license the new morality would grant, there has developed a veritable avalanche of psychiatric problems and drug damage, mental and physical violence, the destruction of self-esteem, and the lack of personal worth. More and more people are committed to mental care. There has been a rise in crime and in suicides, with many being dead even while living. It is because those who have been deceived by this philosophy have nothing upon which they can depend, thinking that they have come from nowhere, they're here for no reason, and are speedily going no place. Well, what is the real message of the new moralist? It is not merely a Hugh Hefner and Playboy movement, although closely connected. But it contends that we are long removed from the biblical age, which was written in the Bible for ancient times. It contends the Bible does not deal with what we face, our mobility, with drugs, with automation, germ warfare, computers, potential global nuclear war. But friend, I would contend with you, it does deal with all those things. Joseph Fletcher, an Episcopal seminary professor of ethics of all things, teaches that there are only three ways open to man to determine what is right and what is wrong, if there is such a thing as right and wrong. The three systems are legalism, that is, a law for every case, and then that which is no law whatever, which is more the playboy thought, and then that which Fletcher called the situation ethics, which means doing what is considered to be the loving thing at the moment, but without any guidelines and rules. Well, it's easy to see that the system is totally subjective and is a cousin, if not the twin, of total lawlessness. Now, there are six prescriptions, six rules, though the advocates of the new morality cringe when they are called rules. They are attractive but dangerous because they contain sprinklings of truth but are deadly. Number one, there is the contention that the only thing good is love. There are no oughts and ought nots, only love. Number two, the ruling norm, therefore, must be love. One is even permitted to violate the Ten Commandments if love is the motive. If you need something, you may steal it. You may lie if you think it'll produce good. You can commit adultery if you say you're in love. The situation may mean it is your duty to violate God's biblical laws. And a third principle of the new morality, that love and justice are the same. Justice is simply love distributed. The fourth principle is that love wills the neighbor's good, whether he likes him or not. Now, this is so near the truth and draws attention of people who do seek the truth. The fifth law, the end justifies the means, and nothing else really matters except the ultimate outcome. And the sixth law of the new morality, love's decisions are made according to the situation. You can do what you think is, quote-unquote, best at the moment, but not according to any rule that has come from any other source or authority. In other words, everybody is his own God. Now, the new morality is a reaction against religious traditions of men and the double standards and the hypocrisies of so many. It is appealing to many because it seems to promote love and grant freedom. It seems to exalt people above rules. In fact, however, it is a false and immoral philosophy that cannot be harmonized with the Bible. It is anti-Christ, and in practice, it's detrimental to humanity. It is the very opposite expression of genuine love, as is taught by Christ. I want us to consider some of the errors of this new morality. The Bible makes it clear that there are certain actions that are never right under any situation. We find in Scripture several catalogs of sins and works of the flesh. These are absolute, and under no circumstances can these actions ever be considered acceptable. The Bible does not define love as just doing what somebody thinks is loving. Just what the New Testament says is love is quite different from just what the new morality says is love. Just how do you decide what is loving? Without any rules and without any guidelines. Who has the right to declare the difference between truth and error if everyone has the right to decide everything for himself? From a very pragmatic and practical point of view, the new morality doctrine is unworkable in society because it creates utter anarchy and chaos if it's followed. There would be as many standards as there are people. You know, this was the degenerate condition in Israel as defined in Judges 17 and verse 6, when every man did that which was right in his own eyes. How can people survive harmoniously together when everyone is a law unto himself? The new morality displaces God, and every person becomes his own God, answerable to nobody but his own opinions and his own feelings as to what he thinks is called loving. It is falsely assumed that some way morals are inherent rather than learned. But there are many people who have demonstrated that they think it is perfectly moral to even dispose of an entire race of people if that race is not to their liking. People have to learn the distinction between right and wrong, friend. It is not inborn. Man is not guaranteed to always know what is right. In fact, Scripture teaches that man cannot direct his own steps, Jeremiah 10:23. And what may seem right to him may actually be the way of death, Proverbs 14:12. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 10:17-18, "But he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. For not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth." Now the proclaimers of the new morality grossly distort the teaching of Christ regarding obedience to law. Now Jesus made a clear distinction between that which is divine and that which is human doctrine, between the revelation from God and human traditions. And he insisted on obedience to God's law. He gave commands which one will either obey to his salvation, or he will disobey to his condemnation. This idea that some hold that man is free from all law under Christ is simply not so. We're never free from divine law. And this Jesus emphasized repeatedly. In fact, love, according to Christ, is obedience to God's law. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. 1 John 5:3. Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." John 14:15. The new morality proponents, especially those who show a greater concern for the reality of God than for others, contend that God will, in some manner, inform each person what they ought to do under various circumstances and situations. The truth is, friend, that God already has, by and through his word, revealed to man what he must do under all circumstances, sometimes explicitly, sometimes implicitly, sometimes very specifically, sometimes generically and in principle. But God has already revealed his will to man in his word. We cannot and should not expect some kind of direct operation from God, some manner of special revelation that informs us what God wants us to do under various conditions. He has already taught us that in his word. But the new morality concept does not work in the normal affairs of life. At best, it's only a possible alternative in extreme cases, but a very devious alternative. You see, the new moralist asks, may a person kill a child in order to save a large number of persons? Now, this dismisses the value of trial and suffering. It does not take into consideration all alternative patterns of conduct. It removes motive from the determination of right and wrong. It only offers two choices, both of which are tragic. Now, this is seldom, if ever, the only choices that are available to man. But even so, just who thinks himself sufficiently capable to make himself as God to decide which is the higher good? Possibly the loss of many would be better than the loss of one. The New Testament teaches that sometimes it's better to suffer for righteousness' sake than to do evil, 1 Peter 4:12. Furthermore, to arrange an extreme situation, which is admittedly an exceptional one, and from that exceptional situation draw a general and universal principle conclusion that's applicable for all conduct, is absurd. But this is the ploy of the advocates of the new morality that betrays how sinister are their goals. I say to you, friend, the new morality contradicts explicit prohibitions of inspired writing. Whereas it contends that one may do evil that good may come, Paul was offended that some would accuse him of teaching that, and he denied that that was a valid position, Romans 3 and verse 8. But the fruit of the new morality should tell us something. Consider the crime, the disease, the chaos, the anarchy, and then the following regret and despair, the indecision, the contradiction, the fear that it brings into society. It makes all human relationships unlivable if all conformed to it. Thus far, this system is added to the horrors of mental breakdown, escapism, suicides, hopelessness. The only conclusion that can be drawn when we compare truth with this thing called the new morality is that the Christian certainly cannot follow it. Servants of the devil have always adored it. The way of Christ is not the law versus love, but it's law and love. Love is the fulfilling of the law, Galatians 6 and verse 2. Love is to obey God's law, 1 John 2 and verse 5, 1 John 5 verse 2 and 3. Law must be applied to every situation with proper respect for the limits and the boundaries of the law, with observation of do's and don'ts, the oughts and the ought-nots. And while the new morality establishes every man as his own authority, the Bible teaches that there is an authority which every person is amenable and answerable and accountable, and that authority is God through Jesus Christ. One final observation. We hear among some former brethren who have tired of biblical authority boastfully glib and talk about a new so-called hermeneutics. They call for a new way to interpret the Bible. Frankly, as one listens to what they say, they have, whether consciously or unconsciously, been influenced by the same basic philosophy that has produced this philosophy called the new morality. They want everybody to take the Bible and make it mean whatever they want it to mean. They would swell with anger should people treat their words with the same measure that they treat the Word of God. But these false teachers are everywhere. Dear friend, in the coming years, we're very likely to hear much more about the new morality, and it may not be expressed in that term, but the philosophies and the ideas and the points of the doctrine of the new morality, they abound in our educational systems. They are growing in the religious systems of our nation. Philosophers and theologians and the so-called wise men of the world and the scholars, they're all adopting these sort of things as if there was some validity to it, not aware or not caring that the new morality is in direct contradiction to the revealed will of God as is found in the Bible. Christian people will have no part of it. Christian people will avoid it. Christian people will oppose it and warn against it and show the fallacy of it, so that they might serve God and be acceptable in His sight and practice true, genuine Christian love. This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.